sir. So we got just out of almost out of business bonds.
Thanks for indulging us in that. We're going to call the meeting back to order. We're going to go to number four, the appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. Is there a nomination?
Mr. Mayor, I move that Councilmember Ebner be appointed as Mayor Pro Tem.
Second.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion that we close nominations. And
so move, Mr. Mayor. Move the nomination to be closed.
Absolutely.
Second.
Absolutely. All in favor?
Yes, I vote for myself.
That's unanimous.
What if to be unanimous?
Congratulations, Councilman Ebner. I appreciate that. We'll move down to the old business section of our agenda. Number one is the approval for appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Any comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, on November 9, 2015, the council meeting, there was discussion about the reappointment of S.J. Patinetti to the Board of Zoning Appeals and Josh Stewart to the Design Review Board. The appointments that evening were continued till this evening. At the November 9th meeting as well, Mayor Kavanaugh recommended the reappointment of John McMichael to the Planning Commission. If reappointed, his term would expire December 1st, 2017. Councilman Homoki has recommended the reappointment of Lucy Knowles to the Design Review Board, and if reappointed, her term would expire December 31st, 2017. Councilwoman Price has recommended the reappointment of John Wallace to the Recreation Commission. If reappointed, Mr. Wallace's term would expire September 1st, 2017. Also for consideration by City Council is an appointment to the Ad Hoc Equine Committee to replace the late Alan Corey. At Council's direction, the Equine Committee met and discussed possible recommendations for a replacement. The Equine Committee has recommended that Jeff Ellis be appointed to the Equine Committee to replace Mr. Corey to represent the Polo community. Council also needs to consider replacing Councilman Ebner on the Aiken Corporation Board with another council member. It has also come to our attention that the Council needs to consider an appointment to the South Carolina Arts Subcommittee and Arts Policy Committee. Mayor Kavanaugh has been serving in both of these committees. The Arts Policy Committee will be meeting in December. Council may wish to consider the appointment of Mayor Osborne to both of these committees to represent the city of Aiken. Council consideration is the reappointment of S.J. Patinetti to the Board of Zoning Appeals, Josh Stewart and Lucy Knowles to the Design Review Board, Mary Ann Archibald to the Energy and Environmental Committee, John McMichael to the Planning Commission, and John Wallace to the Recreation Commission. Also for consideration is the appointment of Jeff Ellis to the Equine Committee, a council member to the Aiken Corporation Board, and the appointment of Mayor Osborne to the South Carolina Arts Subcommittee and Arts Policy Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Could we go in and add an appointment now at this time for the Aiken Corporation from the City Council?
Yes, we should be able to add Gail Diggs to the Aiken Corporation Board.
Councilwoman Diggs has expressed that she would be willing to serve on the Aiken Corporation. If we could add her to this motion.
And, Mr. Mayor, if I might make a brief comment.
Yes, sir.
I would like to personally and publicly address a episode from a couple of weeks ago at our council meeting. I want to express my regret as to how the nominations and confirmation of two of the appointees was handled 2 weeks ago, specifically Mr. Patinetti and Mr. Stewart. It's most regrettable because it would have appeared to call into question those gentlemen's integrity and character, which was entirely undeserved and unfair to those guys. And so I personally want to apologize to Mr. Patinetti and Mr. Stewart for that happening. Felt like a public statement in that regard was warranted. And thank you, Mr. Patinetti, for being here.
And, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say or suggest that if anyone has any questions or decides that they think that we are not doing a good job of appointing members to the boards and commissions, I suggest that we not handle that in front of this audience, that if there are anybody who is questioning any of our appointments, let us handle that behind closed doors. That was totally embarrassing. And I too apologize to Mr. Paterniti and Josh Stewart, because I think that we could have handled that better.
Thank you, Councilwoman Diggs. Before we have any more discussion, we need a motion and a second.
I'll move the we approve all appointments.
Okay. Have a motion? Second, Mr. Mayor? All in favor? That's unanimous. Moving on to old business number two. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance revising chapter.
Yep.
Any more nominations?
Forgive me, newbie. Are there any appointments for consideration for our next meeting? Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
We had such a successful Earth Day last year, and I think this person I'm going to nominate is probably one of the individuals responsible for the good work. Therefore, I'd like to renominate Bob Newbern to the Energy Environmental Committee.
Bob Newbern has been added for consideration next. Any other things to be moved forward? All right, thank you. Moving on. Old business number two. This is a second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance revising Chapter 46 of the Aiken City Code to amend Article 4 entitled Transportation of Horse-Drawn Carriages for Purpose of Tourism, specifically Section 46-216 entitled Hours of Operation. Comment from staff.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The City of Aiken Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department, at the request of the Aiken Downtown Development Association, has recommended an amendment to our city code to allow horse-drawn carriages to offer rides for hire in the evening from Thanksgiving through the New Year's Day. Currently, the ordinance does not permit rides after 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Equine Committee met on Wednesday, November 11th, to review three options listed as Exhibit A and unanimously recommended Option 1 of Exhibit A, which creates Paragraph 3, allowing carriage tours from 8 to 11 p.m. from Thanksgiving through New Year's Day, while keeping the other hours the same during Standard Time and Daylight Savings Time. The Department of Public Safety has reviewed the proposed ordinance and has no objections to the extended hours. The Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the October 26th meeting. For Council consideration, a second reading of an ordinance revising Chapter 46 of the Aiken City Code to amend Article 3, entitled Transportation of Horse-Drawn Carriages for Purposes of Tourism, specifically Section 46-216, entitled Hours of Operation. And, Mr. Mayor, we have our city solicitor and our PRT staff here to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, certainly. Are there any questions from council of our staff at this time?
I just have a question regarding the ordinance. Once we approve the ordinance, which we're talking about doing for option one, will the ordinance just contain option one? There's no need for it to contain the options that we haven't chosen, is there?
That's correct.
Okay, so it'll be rewritten when it goes into our records. Okay,
thank you. That's correct. Yeah.
Gary, you got something you can...
Yeah, he said he agreed.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
We have a motion, Mr. Mayor.
There are people who want to speak to it,
I
think.
Yep, absolutely. We'll have discussion at this time. Anyone wanting to address council, may step up, state your name and address.
There's two minutes.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Mr. Mayor, City Council members, my name is Ann Dix, 314 Jehossi Drive, Aiken, South Carolina. I just have a couple questions that I'd like to have addressed. Are these going to be designated areas where these the carriages will be going?
have Jessica Campbell come up. She's the director of our PRT. She'll be able to answer that question for you.
Jessica Campbell, PRT director. Yes, the tour director or the business operator would designate areas according to the ordinance. So there's already boundaries listed in the ordinance. And then they would have a designated route that they would present to the PRT Tourism Division for approval of that specific route that they wish to drive.
Okay. Stay there for my second.
I don't. Just question. I don't see where it says in the ordinance where they can go. Am I missing it?
It's probably the remainder of the city code that is in that section, but it's not being amended, so they didn't publish the whole city code.
Can we generally get an idea of where they go?
It's historic district in downtown, I think.
It is listed in the ordinance, and it's about 14 pages long. I'm trying to narrow it down. But basically, it is between Edgefield Street, Easter Richland, that kind of thing. But it's been passed previously, and it's within the downtown historic district. You're not allowed to go into the residential areas.
Okay. So just in the downtown area then for the nighttime?
That's correct.
And not through the equine area of Aiken. Okay, thank you.
And she may have just answered my second question that I have there of where they were supposed to go. But the other one was, will these horses be required to have bags?
That is not specified in the actual carriage ordinance. However, it is covered in the city ordinance, which covers animals and taking care of their waste on a regular basis. So even though it's not covered in this section, it is covered elsewhere.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Duke. Thank you, staff. Any other individuals want?
My name is Scotty Moore, 155 Hunting Hills Drive. I am the owner-operator of Moore's Carriage and Stables. Just to let you know, a little background, I was involved a year, maybe two ago, with some of the modifications to the existing carriage regulations. And part of the thing that came out is you've got two real different sections of the carriage industry. You have the tourism section, and then you have the special events type of business. We do special events. We do weddings. We do anniversary dinners. We do all that kind of thing. And it was, at least my understanding, when we revised them the first time, that those two separate entities were going to become and remain separate. When you look at this handout tonight, 46-216 says that horse-drawn carriages for hire, including those for tours and special events, shall be operated. And then you've got the three different options. Right now, a big part of our business is weddings. We pick up, a lot of that business is after 11. We oftentimes pick up the bride and groom from the reception, take them to one of the nice carriage house, the Wilcox, one of the nice places to stay downtown, and that's a big part of our business. Our carriages are well lit, the horses are lit, we make a lot of clackety-clack racket, but we set up in areas where we're not disturbing any of the neighbors with the trailer and the loading and unloading and the noise and all of that, but it is a big part of our business, and I just wanted to make sure that it was being held separate from actual tourism versus special events business.
From my reading of the ordinance, that is currently not allowed, what he's speaking of. And I may have just focused directly on this ordinance for this particular purpose, so maybe speaking out of turn, but
not quite sure that it's allowed. What he's talking about is allowed in the ordinance as it's written, currently.
Well, as it exists now.
As it exists now. There's no carriages for hire after 5 o'clock in Eastern Standard and 8 p.m. and I may be flip-flopping it. But
that's for tours. I think I understood the gentleman to say he has special events that operates outside of those hours and that they were to be considered separate from tours.
Now, special events is defined in the ordinance in the front section. And it's a prearranged tour to accommodate a one-time, non-occurring special occasion such as a convention or non-profit activity. I'm not quite sure a carriage for hire for a wedding would qualify under that. It might, if they're not charging.
But we're talking about putting him out of business is what I understand us to be doing.
That's not my intent.
I know, but do you understand that?
It's going to need some more research, it sounds like.
I think it may need some more
research. Mr. Moore, are you currently able to do the service that you're providing?
Yes, we have, and I really must admit that we have had nothing but good experiences from the city. The public safety officers have even gone as far as to make a lap now and again to keep an eye on our trailer when we're gone. There's some pretty expensive equipment in that trailer, and they've gone out of their way to accommodate us on numerous occasions. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. The other lady's question is, we do not wear bags on our horses. However, after the drive is over, we go back with a shovel and clean up. It's a little less obtrusive to us to not wear the bags, but we do go back and clean up whatever mess we made when we're done. It's just the way we do it. So.
It may be an opportunity for council to use, other than option one, option two or three, which would allow up to 11 o'clock throughout the year, and that would accommodate Mr. Moore's
I think what he said at the beginning, as I understood it, was we're dealing with two different worlds.
Two different activities.
We need to leave his world alone. All we want to do is allow the tours downtown between Thanksgiving and January.
Yeah.
I don't see the difference, is what I'm trying to say.
The ordinance, you don't see the difference.
No, I don't.
Continue to the end of the meeting.
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to make a suggestion, if we could, because I think this is pretty relevant. Mm-hmm. If we could continue this item to the end of the meeting and maybe have you guys go and maybe work this out and bring it back to us by the end with something that would work for Mr. Moore's situation. I appreciate it. Is that agreeable with council?
Absolutely. We need a motion to do that?
No.
To continue to the end of the meeting?
If you don't mind.
Make a motion to continue this item to bring it back up at the end of the meeting. Last item. Thank you.
We have a motion.
Second.
Well, we have a second on this, I think, for the continuing.
Can we withdraw the motion?
Absolutely.
I'll withdraw my second. She wanted to speak beforehand.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hi, Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, Southeast. I was on the original committee that drafted the ordinances many years ago, and then probably 4 years ago or something on the committee that Mr. Moore was on for revising the ordinances, and those ordinances never came back to y'all. That was something that Glenn Parker facilitated under our former city manager. That was seemed to be an exercise in futility that nobody was going to finish. So all of that was worked through, but it never came back to council for a vote to change the ordinances. The primary concern with carriages at night is a safety issue, and a few years ago there were carriages that at night that the city or someone organized between here and Rye Patch, and the Hopeland's lights. Do you all remember that? They would cart people back and forth, and that was actually I don't know how popular it was, but I almost ran into one of them on York Avenue because they were not well enough lit. So safety is the biggest issue, and I think somebody like Mr. Moore, obviously he hasn't been hit, so he's got a well-lit carriage. But I don't think it's something that you can get together tonight and come up with the answer with, you know, with a handful of people, because we met probably a dozen times going over it, you know, tooth and nail before, and that's what you need to go back to, not just come
up. So there's documents, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there should be in the PRT records, because we met there, I can't remember when that was. Do you remember?
Yeah, and eventually it wound up that,
I recall, the
city, the city, the city had neither the funding or the budget or the manpower to enforce a lot of these restrictions that were currently in the standards. There were some pretty simple stuff, regulations about coming to your facility, checking the health of your animals, making sure you're taking care of your equipment and that your equipment is properly maintained. And then there were some others that required that you pass a driving test. And I'm not entirely sure how many people there are that are more qualified than me to tell me that I'm capable of driving a horse and carriage. I've been doing it for a long time with a lot of different kinds of horses and have never had an issue. However, you are dealing with horses, so there was also a regulation that said that you needed to be insured and you need to have a business license, and all those things are met. But there was never anybody in the city's realm to enforce it or check on it or do the vet checks or check the vet records or check the carriages or to even know what they were looking at to check your equipment and your tack and all of that.
Mr. Moore, you're able to run after 11 o'clock now in the city of Aiken?
Oh, yes, sir. I've got halogen lights front and back, an orange reflector triangle.
But if we pass the second reading, you won't be able to.
Right.
I would rather have them take a chance at getting it so that we can do it and revisit it, not leave it alone. But currently, I know there's several people in this business who can do it. I would rather pass it tonight because the time issue is dealing with the holiday tours. I mean, we all know that, and I know the committee worked hard on that as also. I would rather see us at least try to get some wording that allows him at least for the next 2 months, and then we can bring it back with the revisions. Maybe we can find what was put together by the committee, if that'd be all right, Jenny.
And in the meantime, when you have a major accident down on Lawrence Street, are you going to say, oh, oops, you know, I wish that hadn't happened?
They're currently able to do it right now.
But they're not doing it, is the thing. And if, when you get, you know, when you get horses and carriages down there, unless it's on a regular basis and people are accustomed to it, it's, you know, it may or may not be safe. And y'all are the ones that are going to bear the brunt of it if you approve it and it's not safe. And if you look at the ordinances for other cities that have carriages allowed, daylight or nighttime, Charleston, Savannah, Atlanta, Chattanooga. I mean, the ordinances are long, and it's a safety issue that makes it. And yes, you have to pass a driving test in all of them, and your horses have to be checked and all of that. So I don't think you should, you know, to me, the only danger with right now doing this is to say, okay, you can go anywhere in the whole town. To me, if carriages are downtown in the commercial district where it's very well lit, it's and the speed limit is slow, you're going to be all right. But if they go on streets that are 35 or streets that don't have street lights, you run a risk. I mean, the state ordinances say that carriages have to have lights that are visible 500 feet before and behind. So you need to make sure that the carriages that you approve pass that standard. And there, he's right. There's been nobody in the city that you could go to and say, okay, you know, check me out, test me, give me my pass. Sure. And it's because there's not really been anybody that's requested it, and it's not been just sudden happen. So
thank you for that.
Yes, sir. No, I agree. I mean, you know, you pay your money, take your chances, and hopefully we'll get accustomed to it, and, you know, everybody's going to be safe. But we don't have inspections on automobiles. Why do we have to have inspections on carriages? If they are well lit, I mean, it's not unusual to drive at night, see cars with, you know, one headlight, one taillight, if that. So, you know, I don't think that. And plus, I mean, it's wintertime. It's the holiday season. 6 o'clock is just as dark as 11 o'clock, so I don't see where 11 o'clock is a magic number. You know, personally, I don't see any reason why we have to cut it off at 11 o'clock. You know, it's
11 o'clock is this, I can't remember all the changes that we talked through in those meetings, but it was basically to separate tours that were being guided versus a tour, as we refer to it, that was a point-to-point transportation. Put those into two different...
There was a definite delineation between
right.
the two.
But we never went back and voted, y'all never voted on ordinances to allow what we worked on. So I can't tell you what is or isn't allowed, but I would tell you that if you decide to do them at night on a regular basis, and if public safety, you know, chooses a route that they really be concerned about the, you know, the well-lit areas.
Confined to the downtown area,
yeah,
I think you
yeah,
said. I think staff should keep that in
And if there's a stretch of Park Avenue with no lights, then, you know, you better be aware. Because, you know, yes, cars go with no lights, but cars are a lot more protection than an open carriage. If, you know, if you get hit in a carriage, it's over. It's not the same.
So, thank you so much for those comments. Thank you, Ms. Moore.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, ma'am.
How much of a revenue generator is this for you?
Some years are better than others. We normally charge for the average regular wedding is about $450.
Okay.
Now we have done some that have multiple carriages, which have become more popular, and those are up around $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you have potential for Saturdays and Sundays, on holiday weekends and holidays like that. We have in the past been triple booked, where we had three and four weddings in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So it varies depending on the economy. And last year was a little down, this year's up. So.
Just wondering, how critical is it for us to act pretty quickly for you, or can you?
I don't mean to laugh disrespectfully. This has been a subject of conversation for years,
mm-hmm.
and it has been. You have several different interest groups who have their point of view. My opinion, all of them have some validity. You've got the downtown people that live downtown that don't want their privacy bothered
yes.
by people coming through in the middle of the night. Understand that. You've got the horse crowd in the racing district. If you don't know a lot about horses, a lot of times a horse, when he sees a horse and carriage, will flip out. They have to be trained to see that, so never go there,
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to be responsible for injuring somebody's $1 million racehorse or somebody's $20 horse. I don't want to be responsible for that. But and then there is an issue of safety. But we have automobile lights on our carriages, and we fashion them in so that they try not to destroy the ambiance of an old carriage. But you can see us. And we have the big orange triangle, and I can blind you with high beams or low beams in the front. The lights shine down the front of my horse. We take every possible precaution that we can. We are dealing with animals. We are insured, because it is an animal. They're all very well trained. A couple of our horses even know to stop at stoplights on their own. They see the red light, they stop. It's rare, but it does. We do have one, two that do that. We've also got one that's scared of manhole covers, so we have to be cognizant of that and steering around. So they're animals, so you can't have an accident, but we do everything we can to keep our customers and our animals safe, and we wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think it was unsafe. And to your question, what would it do to us if it pushed this discussion out a couple more months? Nothing to us.
Okay.
Except for we have been contacted by the county tourism office, and they wanted us to do these tourism rides. I warned them to be very careful with the term tourism. In the city of Aiken, if you want to do a tour, you have to have a tourism license. Mm-hmm. I do not have one of those. I'm not interested in getting one of those. The test is huge, and it's got a bunch of architectural stuff in it that I'm not concerned with. I'm concerned with horses and carriages and driving and that kind of thing, and I could care less who the architect for that old house is. I appreciate the fact that it's still there and it's beautiful and this is downtown Aiken, but that's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. So I caution them to be very careful that these rides that they're doing are carriage rides. They are not tours. They're not going to be narrated. They are a ride around downtown Aiken to enjoy the sights. That's it, no more, no less. So if this gets put off, it could possibly nix their plans or delay their plans. But as far as my operations, I plan to continue as I have for the past 6 years.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I move that we go ahead with the second reading of this ordinance and let's entertain his needs later.
Okay, we have him. And that's hearing Mr. Moore what he said. I understand what you're saying, not to continue it. Okay. We need to remove that motion and second if that's what we choose.
Is that Jack White's order? Jack White's order. Jack White.
Yeah. Okay. And Mr. Wetzel, I think, would like to address this also. So. I know Mr. Wetzel serves on the Equine Committee as well. So.
My name is, excuse me, Jack Wetzel, I live at 494 Powder House. I'm on the Equine Committee, excuse me, and we have to do some more work before any of this can go on. The committee with the city agreed. You had one of your police officers there. We need to, there's a veterinarian, myself, and the chairman of the committee are going to Charleston to look at their operation, to maybe fashion ours after that. It is a major safety issue. It's certainly different than being in a car because there's nowhere to go but out of a carriage if you get struck. So I would like to see this carried on to another Equine meeting. And if so, combine with council. We're not ready yet.
Okay. Mr. Wessel, I think I hear you saying what Councilwoman Price said. Let's move the continuation as far as trying to rush something. Mr. Moore, I believe you said that if we waited and came back and worked this out in the next few months, you would be all right with that, and that would give them time. We can go on and pass this for the holiday tours, which the Equine Committee approved of, correct?
I know they would be very attractive to people, but we're still not ready, and this is a safe. I've shown my horses all over the world. I've traveled with horses. There's nothing anymore. Driving makes you look and listen. Nothing any more dangerous than having a load of people on a busy street. No matter how good a driver you are, you don't know what a driver in a car might do or a pedestrian. And you might have people been drinking before they got in the carriage or whatever. And the city deserves a good carriage business. I think it would add a lot to Aiken, but please do it right. That's all we ask.
Well,
I believe.
We'll take
Thank
it.
You.
We'll take it.
I've got a quick question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was for Jessica. Is the only carriage ride tour, whatever we're going to call it, being proposed right now, this one that Mr. Moore has approached about through the county? Is that all? Are there other ones that are...
We would like to have a holiday carriage ride through downtown, and we have worked with our public safety in speaking with the Quine Committee.
Is this what he's referring to?
Our tourism, I don't know. I'm not sure about the county.
The county tourism office is in my bag.
Okay. So you're trying to do this as a city activity?
Correct. And we do have people in place to follow the ordinance. So where it says a license is needed, we have someone who's able to give that license. Where it says a carriage needs to be inspected, we have someone that's available to give that inspection. When it says a permit is needed, we have the means to give that permit. So we, in working with staff, do have the means to follow the ordinance as it currently is written. So voting tonight is simply to extend the hours during the holiday season. It doesn't change the ordinance in any way. I do agree it needs to be revisited. There is some very extensive details that we can definitely pull those records that Ms. Stoker was speaking of and see what those differences are in the previously proposed ordinance that maybe was not voted on. But so we can definitely revisit the ordinance as a whole. But in speaking of the item on the agenda tonight, it's simply to extend the hours so that we can offer a holiday ride. Do you mind me asking, was it Jenny that you had spoke with? She's city. She's the city tourism.
I thought you said she was county.
That's okay. Say yes.
I thought so. I wondered about the county doing that.
Thank you.
I would like to say that I think... and I know I asked for the continuation. Seems like we probably have time that we can do that. If we remove that and just go with what initially was stated by the equestrian committee, and we can re-examine these other safety issues later on, I think that would probably be the best.
I'm still hearing that we're, from a safety viewpoint, the equine committee representative, at least, is not comfortable doing these tours in the downtown area during the holidays, if that's what I...
Mr. Wetzel, if you don't mind. The equestrian committee was okay with it as presented. It was the additional items that caused the concern, correct? Or did I misunderstand that?
Was the
initial item that was reviewed by the equestrian committee, I saw it was unanimous. Is that something that would be in your idea or in your consideration state?
Option one.
Yes.
Yes. They did approve that.
Okay. And then the other that we set it to the side and consider it a different time. That would be okay. Very good.
So you're okay with option one for over the holidays?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Right. I didn't understand.
All right. Okay. So if we could, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who made the motion and second, but if we could remove those for continuation.
I made the motion, and I think Dick seconded it, maybe.
Okay.
So I'll rescind my motion if that's
okay.
The proper.
Dick, you'll remove the second.
I'll remove the
okay.
Second.
So we're back to the original motion. We're not continuing.
Jenny, I think, is...
Just to clarify, the original motion for whichever option it is to extend the time doesn't address the route at all. And as it is now, the route allowed for carriages is all over the area that she listed, which is Edgefield to, wherever. It's a huge area. And is it possible to add to the ordinances that carriages, for hire in these evening hours would be restricted to a route approved by Aiken Public Safety, which would be determined by such and such a date?
I don't think it would be an issue.
Because I would suggest doing that so that you, at least you have the parameters of where they are allowed to go, where public safety says it's okay, and then you have the safety factor ironed out just a little bit for the initial start.
That's in the ordinance that the route
ordinance
would be approved by the city.
Perfect.
Yes.
Excellent.
And we would be happy to work with whomever we needed to make sure that it was within an appropriate boundary.
Okay. And I don't want to shelf what's going on with Mr. Moore. I'd like to see that brought back after it's had been reviewed.
Well, I'd like to see the work that the committee did.
That would be good too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate those comments. We have a motion and a second.
What are we voting on? Option one?
We're voting on option one as presented.
All
only applies for the tours.
Only applies for the tours. Correct. Any comments from council? Okay. All in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to new business. Number one is first reading of an ordinance for accepting the fiscal year 2014-2015 audited financial statements. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, our auditor has prepared the FY14-15 financial audit required by state law and city code. Due to the new pension and OPEB, other post-employment benefit standards, our auditors had to wait on actuarial information this year before all work could be completed. Unlike past years, we are requesting first reading at this meeting to give council time to review the report before the auditors attend a council work session, hopefully scheduled on December 14th. So you will receive the audit, have 2 weeks to review it before we have our work session with the auditors. So we're asking for a first reading at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn. Appreciate it. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Motion. Mr. Mayor seconded.
I just have one question for those that have the audit. Page 78 and 79 both indicate that there will be schedules. The schedule will present 10 years of information once it's accumulated. So we're not going to get the past 10 years, or I'm not sure how to read that. Page 78 is a good example.
I'm going to ask Kim Adney if she would to come up.
I'm going to let you get away without at least one question, Kim.
Well, and that was one of the main reasons I asked if we could go ahead and get y'all the audit this time. If it wasn't such a busy night, we might could have had the auditor scheduled tonight, but I think there was a lot of other stuff going on anyways. But that way you'll have this, and please send me, you know, any other questions that you come across in the next 3 weeks, and we can be prepared and have them for you. But to your specific question on page 78 and 79, you'll be hearing a lot more about the new GASB Statement 68, which is changing how we have to present our pension and OPEB liabilities. And these are new schedules, so they will bill to 10 years. They didn't require us to go back and try and figure out what this information would have been had we had it in the last 10 years. So it will build over the next 10 years.
So next year we'll have a chart with
next
this one year.
Have 2 years.
Okay.
Right. It'll
Thank
move
you.
Forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Any comments from any individuals in the audience? Comments from council? All in favor on setting on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number two, this is a first reading of an ordinance to annex 1.29 acres on Hamilton Drive and zone it general business. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, Rhoda Burns, owner of 1.29 acres of Hamilton Drive off Silver Bluff Road, has requested annexation of the property and zoning as general business. The property is presently zoned urban development in the county. The property is currently a vacant lot and was last used for vehicle storage for Parker's paint and body. If the annexation is approved, the current owner would like to build a dance studio on the site. The Planning Commission at the November 10th meeting considered the annexation and request and voted unanimously to recommend approval for the annexation and zoning as general business. For City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to annex 1.29 acres on Hamilton Drive off of Silver Bluff Road owned by Rhoda Burns and zoning it general business.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Thank you. Motion by Ms. Diggs.
Second.
Second by Mr. Meary. We'll open it up to discussion. I think Mr. Burns is here. If you'd like to.
My name is Corey Burns. I live at 156 Inwood Drive, and I'm representing Rhoda Burns, my mother, who opened up the studio in 1982. And so we have plans to relocate and build a studio at that property. I've met with the neighbors and the folks around it. Obviously, been to the Planning Commission, worked with Mr. Paradise in the planning with the hopes of building it to city specifications and site plan approved by the city, with the intent to annex and teach a lot of kids how to dance and some adults too.
The harder task is teaching us.
So, Corey, does this mean that, you know, you'll have adequate parking? I know that was one of the problems that you had with the other location.
And absolutely.
I remember years and years of taking both of mine to the dance studio and always wondering, where are we going to park?
That is one of the big concerns as to why we...
But all the classes that you have.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why we pursued the lot size that we did, to be able to not only have the bigger building, but when you fill the classes with dance students and their parents stay in the parking lot, or they can also come in the building. So that's the plan. We met with the planning director and got all the specifications from the site manager or site engineer, learning all these new terms, to make sure that, yes, indeed, everything was good to go so that we can operate and do those things.
Excited for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council? All in favor? That's unanimous. Number three, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 624 East Pine Log Road, owned by Jay and Cheryl Watts and zoned in general business.
Mr. Mayor, Jay and Cheryl Watts, owners of property at 624 East Pine Log Road, has requested that the property be annexed in zoned general business. This parcel is a 0.17-acre lot containing 7,405.2 square feet. This parcel was subdivided from a 0.9-acre parcel on September 9, 2015. The applicants would like to upgrade the existing building with water and sewer service so it would be available for rent to business tenants. On November 10th of this year, the Planning Commission considered the request and voted 6-1 to recommend approval of the annexation with the following conditions as noted in the memorandum in your agenda. For council consideration, is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 624 East Pine Log Road, owned by Jay and Cheryl Watts, and zone it general business with the conditions recommended by the Planning Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Clem. Is there a motion?
I move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Duar. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Seconded. Comments from the audience? Comments from council? All in favor?
Welcome to the city.
Number four. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding tree removal after development. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, our staff often receives requests for the removal of trees that were planted as part of a development where the developer did not select the appropriate tree for the site, or that the developer may have also planted additional trees that were not required by the city. When these trees have grown to a size to become a significant tree or a grand tree, the tree is not allowed to be removed unless it meets the criteria set forth in the zoning ordinance. The Planning Commission was asked to review our zoning ordinance to look at ways it could be amended that would allow for the removal of trees that have been planted by property owners and that have grown to the size and they are protected by the zoning ordinance, but may be causing problems that the current ordinance does not address. The Planning Commission has held several work sessions and discussed the issues regarding trees. They have recommended several amendments to the zoning ordinance over the past year regarding the spacing of trees along a street frontage and sign visibility for freestanding signs, and the removal of trees in a planting strip along any street right-of-way or property line. At their November 10th meeting, the Planning Commission this year recommended to the City Council proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance regarding removal of the trees after development and removal of existing trees or on lands not being developed. For council consideration, its first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding removal of trees after development. I notice that we do have at least one member of the Planning Commission and certainly our planning director here to answer any questions that you may have.
Sure. So, are there any comments from the audience? Well, I'm sorry, excuse me. Need a motion?
So move, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Ebner. Okay. Comments from the audience? Any comments or questions from council?
Just one question. How available is the tree list to the public?
It's in the planning department.
Mr. Paradise.
Mr. Paradise.
We have it in our office. We are readily email it. But now that you asked that question, I'm not sure if it's on our website or not, but I'll know by this time tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it would be excellent, because this tree list is a benefit not only to the businesses. I mean, maybe now I'll be able to get rid of that tree so I can see the target sign and make the right turn. But, but it would be a help, I think, to everybody in the city, knowing, I mean, I'm facing an issue in my house now. The trees have grown up, and they're bigger than I'd like them to be. And if I had to replace them, I'd like to know what tree would be acceptable, and I'd have to go through that again. So,
yes, I appreciate it.
Mr. Paradise, I wouldn't mind having a copy if you could email that to me. Would council, maybe we could just provide council with that list?
Put it on the website.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But I would recommend it be on the website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from council?
All in favor?
That's unanimous.
It's a pretty easy job, isn't it?
We're not done yet.
No jinxing.
Somebody had to say it, didn't they? Number five, this is first reading of an ordinance amending ordinance 06-2222-015 regarding annexation conditions for TD property on Whiskey Road. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, on June 22nd of this year, the City Council annexed 1.6 acres on Whiskey Road. It is commonly referred to as the TD Bank property. The annexation listed six conditions of annexation that required compliance within 180 days. The applicant will not be able to comply with all of the conditions of annexation within the 180-day period and is requesting an extension of an additional 180 days to meet conditions. The reasons for requesting the extension is outlined in the attached letter. Staff has reviewed the request and recommends extension for the additional 180 days. Once again, our staff, George Grinton and others, are here to answer any questions.
Thank you for that. Is there a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move for approval of the first reading.
Right. Councilman Warren, a motion. Councilman Diggs, seconded. Comments from the audience? Any questions or comments from council?
I have a question regarding whether this will require any additional funds from us with this extension.
Mr. Grinton?
No.
Thank you.
Reggie, do you have a question?
Yep, for George also.
Okay. George, we weren't going to let you have a meeting where you didn't get to take the stand. You knew that.
I can get by for free.
Yes.
Unless Ms. Price was first.
I already asked my question regarding
that. He already answered hers.
On the going back a little bit in about this same time of June of this year, council had a had requested and authorized you to make a stormwater study of the Ladbrook property and the next one down to the other street. I forgot. Was this water issue included? Because I don't remember this coming up at the first reading about having a stormwater problem with this property.
Now, I think this is something that they're changing. The opportunity, though, does exist for them to connect into stormwater. Part of the commercial property evaluation that we hired Haas and Hildebrand to evaluate indicates that we should be able to have the sanitary sewer easement and the stormwater pipe in the same easement, and then those properties could connect. So it will require some of that work to do, but that's the next project. If the owner, you know, required that, then we would want him to pay for, obviously, the pipe from his property to the connection point that would be on East Cape.
Okay. And but the key we had talked about is to be sure when we, as TD develops, as well as the Lad Bread and then the corner property, that they we don't have to revisit this, that once we do something, it'll fit all three properties.
That is the plan, and Haas and Hildebrand have not finished that design yet, and therefore I don't have a cost for that total project. If the TD Bank, you know, changes what they wanted to do, because at one point they were actually going to build a little bit of pond and connect into that ditch, and if they're changing their design because their original proposed development, I think, has changed, you know, until you see what they're proposing, you really don't know what's going to cost. Or
as long as we keep this all in one bundle so we don't do half of it at a time. And I think also Haas and Hildebrand was to check the capacity of the sewer line also to be sure it was large enough right. to handle these properties.
Right. That shouldn't be an issue. I've been playing telephone tag with Mr. Rogers to discuss the stormwater issue, to understand more of it, but we just haven't connected yet.
Because there is a detention pond there now, and there is a lot of, and it's my understanding that the hard surface space now is considered in the future calculations, too.
That would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments or questions from council? All those in favor? That's unanimous. Moving on to Section 5, Petitions and Requests. Number one is approval for a contract with CHA for professional services for the Northside Park project. Any comments from staff?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. At the meeting of October 12th, the City Council approved entering negotiations with CHA for project management for the Northside Park project. A team of city staff and three city council members recommended CHA, a firm with South Carolina offices in Lexington and Myrtle Beach, for this work. We have a proposed contract for council approval tonight. We've worked with CHA to ensure the infrastructure installation will be part of the first phase of the project. If the council approves this contract, CHA will begin work soon so we can bid out the first phase of the project in mid-2016. We will keep the council abreast of all plans and get your approval before the actual bid documents are let. The council approval is a contract with CHA for professional services for the Northside Park project. We have Mr. Mayor, representatives from CHA who are present this evening with staff to answer any questions that you may have. Additionally, I know that one council member has raised some additional issues and has asked for additional analysis that is ongoing, and we would have that analysis ready for the council's consideration at the next council meeting. But we do have staff and CHA present here to answer any questions you have about this contract.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion?
I so move. Right.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Four. Questions and discussion from council?
Yes.
Councilman Ebner?
Mr. Stewart and I and the representative of CHA had a discussion before, and this is a continuation discussion from the beginning of this endeavor. If Mr. Stewart, Mr. Biedenbach, would please show the my email that I sent, and I've given the Ms. Rideout a copy to put in the minutes. And this has been not an issue, but something that needs to be done all along. And while it's coming up, when this was originally done, there was always some discussion about the utilities that are outside the site that need to be brought to the site, and also the SCDOT approval for traffic studies and so forth. This proposal specifically exempted those, which was in his right to do and was considered. And so what needs to be done, obviously we need a road there, and we need to have the utilities brought to the site. And Mr. Stewart has been working with the representative that as they develop the interior side to see where these services need to be, and then it would come back to council for either addition to this contract for design and documents, or we would go to a separate contractor depending on the needs. The needs can be anywhere from a simple thing of a few feet of water line or a ditch from here to yonder. The other thing that's is typically a big cost is the interface with SCDOT and what all requirements they may want us to have, acceleration and deceleration lanes. And so my items up here, 1 through 8, pretty well cover what's outside the scope of work. So what I'd like to do, Mr. Clem, is as this progresses over the next few months, is to be sure that these are considered as we do the get into the final design phase and who's going to do it and the funding, we know where it's coming from. So whatever you need at the next meeting, to be sure that we consider these outside services, you know, either present it there or we agree tonight that this will be considered, however we need to do it.
Okay, my only comment was that my understanding is that the CHA representative is just seeing this for the first time, and he needed a little additional time to evaluate the ramifications and to report back to us. And I think that that's what he's asking from us.
Certainly.
So do we need to continue it to?
No, not continue.
It's agenda item.
It's a good item on the agenda, and it's followed our original concept from day one. But we always said we needed to do this, and I want to be sure that as he develops where the entry road needs to be and those type of things, it gets done. And also I included the electrical grid, if you will, on here. Aiken Electric Corp is within the legal guidelines to furnish services for this site. One reason I put it there, we don't want to go into duplicate services on that type of thing. So I think City Council can weigh in on that, is my understanding from the state law. Okay, Stuart, please.
Are we choosing a utility service now?
It's by right, they have the service to it, and they need to be directed to work with somebody. I've already, Glenn checked that out with SCENG and Aiken Electric.
That's something we certainly need to be aware and consider, but I don't think we have to do that tonight. We probably just need a recommendation on that. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Edmund?
That'd be fine with me. Yeah. We've already, our previous director for capital project did that, but I think a review of that would be very appropriate.
Okay, let's include that. Go ahead, Stuart.
What CA, this tonight, we could go ahead and get council's approval to execute the contract based on the RFP that the team reviewed about 2 months
ago. And that's what we want to do.
And then they will come back. Mr. Graham informed me, as they proceed down through the path over the next couple of months, they can come back with whether or not this falls within the existing scope or whether an addendum needs to be done. And then it can be brought back to council at the appropriate time to address these issues, but this would not prevent them from going ahead and starting the work, because we do have a timetable so they can get started before the end of the year, as we've been discussing for the last 2 months or so. This will enable them to at least get started and address the issues in the RFP as well as these concerns you've raised.
Yeah, and that's in what Mr. Wiedenbaum said, is it follows exactly, it goes back almost to the first of this year, end of last year. So what all is we're in front of us is appropriate. I just want to be sure this gets addressed sometime in the near future. So I'm all for moving forward.
Thank you, Councilman Edmund. Any other comments or questions from council?
I have a question. You may or may not be able to answer it, and this borders on possibly whether it's going to impede some things with your work or not. There are people that are asking, as we get into phase one and get the land cleared, because we're doing all this work in phases, whether it will be equipped for folks. We talk about a walking track around the circumference of the property, whether there will be, whether people will be able to use that as a walking track while the development is going on. Is that going to impede safety too much to do that?
Well, good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council, Mr. City Manager. My name is Patrick Graham. I'm a project manager with CHA Consulting. It's an excellent question. The process that we will go through in terms of this project, the first thing we will do is go through a master planning and programming phase of the project. That'll be the first step. That's going to include a couple of different workshops where we'll start to get a lot of input from yourselves, potentially the public as well, in terms of what components will go into the project and what will go into the overall master plan. And one of those components, obviously, would be the walking trail. Then we will look specifically within your budget guidelines what we can put into phase one. And that'll be a collaborative process of working with you in terms of identifying what features come into phase one, what would be done first. So I'm not sure if walking trail would be in phase one at this point, but that would certainly be up for discussion and consideration.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, Council?
Have we got a motion on the table?
You do.
Yes. We do.
And a second.
All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Number two, under petitions and requests, is approval of bid awards for improvements to the public safety training tower and burning building. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, as part of CPST 3, the voters approved $250,000 for improvements for the burn building and fire training tower at the public safety training ground on DuPont Drive. We hired a structural engineering firm, Warren Associates of North Augusta, to perform an assessment of the work and review the subsequent bids. After this review, they have determined the lowest responsible bids were from Top Level Construction LLC of Beach Island, who submitted a bid of $24,859.44 for the fire training tower improvement project, and Stewart Builders of Aiken, who submitted the lowest responsible bid of $62,243 for the burn building improvement project. Moore and Associates will continue to monitor these projects for us as the improvements are made. For City Council approval, our bid awards for improvements to the Public Safety Training Tower to Top Level Construction LLC and improvements to the Fire Training Tower to Stewart Builders Incorporated. And Mr. Mayor, we have our Public Safety Chief here as well as Mr. Grinton to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there a motion?
I move approval, Mr. Mayor, of the bid awards for improvements in Public Safety Training Tower and Burn Building.
Right. Motion. Mr. Mayor seconded it. Comments from the audience? Okay. Questions or comments from council?
I have a question for the chief.
Chief Franco.
Chief, just for clarification, with the burn building repair, there was a statement that was made regarding one of the bidders. Whether the price include the replacement of the wall and ceiling fire panels. Did that price include that?
It included the...
But that's a solid bid.
Absolutely. Okay. It included exactly what Moore and Associates put as part of their scope of work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
You have to almost ask if RLN was even bidding the right job. And they were almost four times the price of the winning bidder. Just notable.
Any other comments or questions from council? And all those in favor? Yell and sing. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. That's unanimous. Thank you. Number three in the petitions and requests. This is approval for mutual aid agreement with DOE Savannah Riverside Fire Department. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, every few years we renew our mutual aid agreements with area law enforcement and fire agencies. These agreements provide the necessary legal documents which allow our department to seek assistance from or to provide assistance to other agencies in the event of a large-scale emergency. For City Council's consideration, is approval of a mutual aid agreement with the Savannah River Site Fire Department.
All right, is there a motion?
I move approval, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Mr. DeWarren, motion. Mr. Diggs, second. Comments from the audience? Comments or questions from Council?
Yes, one for the chief, and it has to do with a provision about responsibility and liability. Obviously, I'm going to ask you as a question. I would assume that Section 5, responsibility and liability, would mean to, would they replace the equipment if it gets contaminated with radioactivity?
Yes, they will replace the equipment.
Okay, as well as other safeguards that are needed by personnel going on the site.
Yes, sir. It depends on what situation you're talking about, but yes, we do have interaction with them on a regular basis because of the specialty of their...
I spent some time out there with them, and I know there's a lot of restrictions, and one of them is contamination of any kind of equipment that goes on the site.
Yes, sir. This is very similar to what we had with contamination during the train derailment, and a large amount of our equipment was replaced at that time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments, questions? All right, hearing none. All in favor? That's unanimous. Item number four is update on several projects.
Mr. Mayor, at the last meeting, Council Member Price asked that the staff provide an update on the following projects: the concession stand and restrooms over at Perry Park, and the entranceway improvements to Crosland Park. We have respectfully asked that the Senior Youth Center be postponed for discussion for one more meeting at the December 14th meeting. So Mr. Biedenbaugh is here to update us on Perry Park and Crosland Park. Stuart.
Thank you. Crosland Park, last week staff met with several members of the Neighborhood Association and our realtor partners to have a brainstorming session regarding issues and a path forward for the neighborhood at Crosland Park. This currently is the entrance sign at Crosland on Aldrich at York Street. And what the group would like to sort of come to an agreement on was to enhance the current sign by modernizing this with stones or reuse the bricks that are currently in place, make the font larger, look a little more modern, keep the existing trees but trim it and limit on a consistent basis. With our staff could do that, as well as we can sod and grass the area to replace the mulch. There is currently, from our public services department tells us, there is existing sprinkler system there. Add color in the way of seasonal flowers and plantings. This, incidentally, is the sign that was showing that the Garden Club of Crosland Park installed this sign 50 years ago. We're in the process of getting quotes on this work, and money in the Crosland Park budget can be used. And at our next meeting, we were going to bring to council a budget adjustment for several items in the overall city budget, and we could include that in terms of transferring money within the Crosland Park budget to accomplish this work going forward. And that is, I can entertain any questions regarding the entranceway for Crosland.
Stuart, do you have any updates as far as the road work, the entrance with all the potholes?
Yes.
When would that be completed? I know there was...
Yes.
I think DOT is involved with that as well.
They are. That is part of their paving program. And George can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that work is scheduled to be done this spring.
Okay. So it's just...
April 30th is the contract. The contract, any potholes that would have been around, they would be responsible for fixing those until the spring.
Wow.
Spring.
I mean, they're huge.
Spring is going to be resurfacing, though, correct?
That's right.
That's a long time. I ran into one yesterday.
I've driven over one.
It was huge. It was huge.
What's the time frame for the sign that we're talking about in the front of this entrance?
Well, we would get quotes and would then want to have that presented in a neighborhood association meeting, and certainly we could put this in issues and updates or have something more formal to council if you so desire. Emory is back there, and in terms of a time frame for getting the sign put in, we're looking probably over the next several months.
Stuart, I would just say I'd like to see something a little bit more formal than just information. So if we could bring something to council with that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Be glad to.
Thank you.
Any other questions about the sign, the entranceway to Crosland?
I guess we can't expedite
the paving
process.
Paving process, right. My understanding with paving is as the weather gets cold, they don't really pave due to the manufacture of the asphalt. But I'll defer to the paving expert.
First impressions are the best impressions. And
yes.
We're looking at spring.
Through there, you certainly don't
get it.
There
are actually two pavings. One is the sewer work throughout the neighborhood. That is on state contract for SCDOT, and they do not pave during December, January, and February. They cut it off. So it'll be March, April. Their contract is responsible to complete all that work by April 30th. So that's when they would go into penalty if they did not complete by that time. The other paving is the entrance from York Street going back to, Aldridge. We had set this out for bid. We have $360,000 allocated from the Safe Routes to Schools through the SCDOT program, and we only had one bidder. The bidder was 20% over what the engineers had estimated the cost to be. So SCDOT said, I requested that they accept that, but they said, no, we're having the same thing happen to our contracts. There's a lot of work, and so we have to rebid it. I had to send them a letter requesting them to cancel this bid, and I had WR Tool give us a new estimate, and now I am sending that back to SCDOT. They have to give me agreement to go back out for bid. We will have a shortage of funding of about $400,000, a little bit more than that. So we will have to choose to either reduce the amount of paving that we do for the Safe Route to School, or perhaps we can look at capital sales tax, sidewalks, moving money up. It'll be a prioritization. It'll be when I get to that point, and I know how much it is, I'll bring it back to council to discuss. But I think I've pointed this out last time that we're going to have a funding gap because we only have $360,000. So that paving is still to be determined. That project, as it would stand now, would probably be completed this summer and paving, in the fall.
We can take care of the potholes before then, though, correct?
Yes, any potholes we'll take care of either through SCDOT or through our contractor if they were the ones that, initiated it.
I've gotten a lot of calls from people who are running into potholes, knocking their cars out of line.
I'll get our city engineer to go through and inspect them.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, George. George, let me just add that we have been working with Carlson Park and that entrance away for 4 to 5 years or more.
It's been 8 years, so I went back and looked it up.
And still no change in that entrance way. And we've had 8 springs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's constantly moving down the road. So I know the residents there are getting very impatient. I've grown beyond impatient with seeing what's been done here, and I'm hoping that by spring we can expect some changes to give a different appearance. And regarding the improvements with the entranceway with the sign, a change in the color of the sod there, that it's $3 a bag. It's not much to throw some sod down to give it a great appearance.
and some flowers out there. It's not a whole lot for a community to ask in terms of it. And maybe, I don't know what they have in their budget, but somehow we need to make sure that we move a lot faster there.
Stuart?
Yep. Any other questions on the Crosland Park entranceway? As I say, we'll have the budget recommendations for the next meeting. The next one, item was the Perry Park restrooms. As you know, council approved this back in late 2014, late summer. And the status report, as I've been informed, is this is a capital project sales tax item. The project currently has made it, and we reported, I think, Mr. Parker, the capital project sales tax manager, reported some time back that the estimates on the project came in at around $135,000, $140,000 for the restrooms and the concession area, or the area, the covered area. That project has gotten through the school district and is now up at the State Department of Education, since Perry Park is on school district-owned property. And it is at the Office of School Facilities, which is a division within the State Department of Education. And right now, they last week asked for an energy analysis of the building. That process has begun, according to our architect, in terms of sending that information to them. We did ask initially when the paperwork was submitted by the architect that we be excused from having to provide an energy analysis, since it is going to be a city-maintained structure, so we would be paying the utilities. However, they did request that their rules require that energy analysis, so the architect has submitted that to the Office of School Facilities, and we're waiting to get the comments back. Then once that process has worked its way through the Office of School Facilities, it will be back to us to begin letting a bid out for the project.
Stuart, you're reading my mind with my level of patience here. We just want a toilet, just a bathroom that can be so plain for children to use when they're out there playing on the field. And these things seem to be so difficult to accomplish, whether it's in Crossland Park, whether it's in Perry Park. I don't quite understand why it takes so long, but we've been dealing with the school system. We were told that in May, June, July, we're trying to get the paperwork through. We're still trying to get the paperwork through. We're almost into December.
Yes.
And we will hope that we'll get it through maybe next December to get a bathroom there.
I hope we'll be doing a ribbon cutting before next December.
That's a long time to wait for a party.
Yes.
Just saying.
I understand.
Any other questions? And I know that this portion of it, in terms of the school facilities, but there has to, it's priority, and this is obviously not a priority for this area nor this request. So we need to work with someone that has some contacts, hopefully, to make this a priority for this community. So,
yes.
I think, Ms. Price, you're going to see the same thing at the Northside Park. We'll go through the same issues there, whether it's for little kids or for the whole park. Your first time through, it's going to take 12 to 24 months to get them to agree to a toilet or whatever we do out there. That was one reason I put in all the service lines, because that's probably on other people's property too. So it's a killer.
Well, it depends on where it is that we get things done pretty quickly. I applaud our efforts with the alley. We've already almost got a nice alley downstairs downtown with $1.4 million that we've spent. That has not taken us long at all. and when we can work through projects like that pretty and expedite it pretty quickly, I applaud that effort. But I'd like to see that consistently throughout our area, and I think that some things we have control over, some things we don't. And certainly we've got other pieces to the pie with this area, other pieces to the pie with the Cross and Park, with an entrance way that we've been working on for 8 years. It takes a while depending on where you live.
I agree.
I'd like to direct staff, let's talk to Dr. Alford, the new superintendent, regarding this. Include Senator Young in the conversation. And let's come back with a plan forward on this. I agree. Enough time has passed. What'd you say, Gil? It was a long time to wait for a potty?
Long time to wait for a potty.
Absolutely.
Let's pull whatever parties we need to make this thing happen.
I think if you go back and look at when we put in the splash pad over there, that happened in a matter of months because everything was within the city. And we didn't have to go through agency and multiple state issues. We did that job in, 9 months or something from Star George? And we can't even get a permit to work in 9 months here.
If you pull that together, we appreciate it.
Very good.
Speaking of the alley, is one table taking place in the alley or on Newberry Street?
In the alley.
My understanding is in the alley.
Yes, in the alley.
Thank you, Stuart. Appreciate those updates.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of comments if you're ready.
Absolutely.
Three in particular. Our issues and answers speaks about our next meeting, December 14th. We're going to start with a budget work session at 3:30, then go into another work session with the auditors, and then go into a council meeting. 3:30 to 10 o'clock.
Wow.
It's a pretty long day. I wonder if we couldn't break some of that up, at least, I don't know how long the budget session's going to be. It's a brand new budget, so we haven't seen it, but, and I don't know how long the audit shouldn't be long. I'll probably be, as usual, the only one asking questions, but.
I think we're planning on an hour and a half for the budget and an hour for the audit.
Okay. All right.
And we're certainly open to having it another. Right. We were trying to stay within the parameters.
It's fine with me, but it's a long day for some members of council. So I'll just leave it up to them to speak with you, and you can act accordingly. Second comment is, I know we're trying to develop a group of residents to work with a visioning program. I would just like to say we need to be deliberate and diligent in that effort, but I'm not sure we need to rush it. I know I saw something that said we'd like to have it done in January. We're getting into the holidays, so, and I know we're doing some of the appointments in December. We're going to, you promised to send a list, and we'll take a look at that. I just want to make sure that we get a good section of people throughout the community that will participate in that process. So if it takes us a little longer than January, I hope we would do that. And my last comment, it was just an absolute pleasure to watch one of Council Members Mary's constituents on the golf course at Sea Island last week.
Called him that.
Aiken got a lot of publicity. We had three members in our community that made the cut. Matt Adkins, I think it might have been his first tournament. Scott Brown, and the winner was Kevin Kisner. And we should absolutely be proud of his efforts. He had a little thunder stolen by his daughter, who ran onto the green to help Dad do the interview. But what a pleasure it was to hear the word Aiken. I don't know how many times during that tournament over the 4 days. So our congratulations and pride in Kevin Kisner.
Absolutely, well said.
You're here.
Well, maybe he'll grace us with his presence at a council meeting.
He's probably out making millions of dollars. I'd love to see him.
Any comments from council on any items under information? Okay, hearing any, anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
So move.
I second.
If you're all in favor, stand up.
Seriously, maybe we can do it.